Welcome, everyone, to We Have Issues, our weekly comic book podcast that opens the vault, feels the boom, weathers the aftershock, and marvels at every issue released this week. I'm your host, Keith, and I'm here to talk about all your favorite issues and publishers. I am still catching up, but I should be caught up when this episode comes out, and I'll have a new episode for this week's comics out this weekend. But it's been fun trying to catch up. This is going to be 2 weeks of comics we are going to talk about. So once again, I am not going to talk about any news today. We are going to go straight into the comic book reviews as we have been. And of course, we don't start with a bang. We start with a boom. Boom Studios is our first publisher. I got a couple Boom books for the past 2 weeks here. First of all, The Displaced, number 2. I'll be quick on some of these because they'll be like things I've already talked about, but I want to give quick opinions. This one's written by Ed Brisson, illustrated by Luca Castellanguera, colored by D. Conniff, and lettered by Hassan Atzmani Alhaw. This one is the one about the mysterious city that just dropped into the earth and disappeared, and the people that survived. And it's really taken a great supernatural edge to it in this one, where these people are discovering that their whole lives are basically being erased. Their families don't remember them. No one remembers them. No one remembers the city existed. And it's great because it's like, now what do you do with that? Where do you go from there? It's a really cool hook, and I'm really enjoying the book. I think it's something that is going to unfold really, really nicely. And knowing Ed's style of storytelling, I think it's going to have a really great ending as well. So big thumbs up. Next up is one of our favorites, Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, number 13, written by Jason Aaron, art by Nick Dragota, Alexander Tafingi, and Leila Del Duca, colors by Rico Renzi and Lee Luffridge, and colors also by Tamara Bond Villain, lettered by Ann World Design. Again, we're traveling through what seems to be the final arc here for these characters, and it's just, it's such an emotional book. And I think the scene that sticks out with me the most here is a scene early on when Mezzi has kind of given up and sees a familiar face, and it's pretty emotional. It's pretty crazy. And I was just like, really, really brutal and just so good. It doesn't seem like we have much left of this book, and it's a real shame, but it's so good. Pick it up. You will absolutely love it. After that is a number one, Man's Best number one, written by Pornsak Pachote, is illustrated in color by Jesse Lonergan and lettered by Jeff Powell. This is really cool. Like, it's really interesting because it's like we got two pet based books starting in this episode, and this is the first of them. And this one has this cool sci-fi edge and this almost like human arc traveling through space, trying to find a new home for humanity. And these three pets that are along for the ride and seeing things from their perspective, but also with some pretty compelling human characters. I think they do a really good job of showcasing the human characters as well. It's really, really great. I really like it a lot. And it's really cute. I love the art. I'm not super familiar with Jesse's art, but I really enjoy it. I think it's really, really good and definitely something that puts their name on my list of things to look out for. So. Final Boom book is The Expanse Dragon Tooth, number 10, 10 of 12, written by Andy Dickel, illustrated by Francesco Pisa, colored by Francesco Sagala with Gloria Martinelli, and lettered by Pat Brosseau. As this Dragon Tooth stratagem, if you will, is unveiling, things are starting to fall apart a little bit, and you see that they're getting a bit desperate, and the crew of the Rosanante, as well as like other involved parties, are starting to catch up with them a little bit. I personally, being a fan of the books and loving them, I got my eye on Peaches. She's not looking great, and I know a lot about the books. This is obviously not the story of the books, in case anyone's wondering. Not exactly, but still. And also, my boy Amos seems to have gotten himself in a problem, but that's for another time. But very, very cool. Really enjoying it. I cannot wait for... Excuse me. I cannot wait for the big trade. I kickstarted it, and I cannot wait to get it, because it's going to be really, really, really pretty. But yeah, Expanse Dragon Tooth, really good. Only two issues left. It's not too late to jump on. Now our next publisher is going to be Titan Comics. And I only got the one Titan book this week, which is Conan the Barbarian, number 9. I'm so glad that this book is... I was kind of worried that they were going to actually end it in the last issue and then like renumber it or something like that. But it does look like it is going to continue in a really cool way. Written by Jim Zub, art by Rob Delator, color by Dean White, and letter by Rich Starkings. with Conan seemingly sacrificing himself in the last issue to stop the spreading evil, he awakens in a strange place. And we discover through a bit of exposition, a little bit of exploring the world, that he is in the past, the far past, in fact. And it's really cool to see him like jump back like that and to see how he's going to react to it, what he's going to do. Conan's no stranger to time travel. So, but yeah, it's a really nice, natural next arc. And I think it's a really good idea. But yeah, good stuff. Very good. Next up, let's talk about Massive Publishing. I got the one book for Massive, which is Zorro, Man of the Dead, number 3. This book has been a real surprise for me, how much I really, really enjoyed it. A surprise, not because I didn't think I would like it, but because I literally heard no hype about this until it started coming out. Written and drawn by Sean Gordon Murphy, colors by Simon Goh, and letter by DC Hopkins. I love this modernized Zorro story, and there's not a lot I can say that I haven't said before, but I do like this whole Zorro versus the cartel idea. And it's something that, again, I'm from Arizona. I have a lot of Mexican friends, and they would really, really like this book. And I hope they pick it up, specifically my co-host, Josue, who's not here at the moment. But I think he would really, really enjoy this book. And I hope he picks it up soon, because it's right up his alley. And the art obviously is beautiful and just, oh, it's so much fun. Just so good. And really captures the best of Zorro. All right, next up is Oni Press. And I got the one book from Oni, which has been a really good book. I've really enjoyed this. I don't pick up too much Oni Press right now, but Cemetery Kids Don't Die, number 2. Written by Zach Thompson, illustrated by Daniel Irizarry, colored by Brittany Peer, and letter by Ann World Design. This is one about the group of friends who play the online game, and one of them goes into what seems to be a coma of some sort. And as they put pieces together, they start to realize that maybe their friend is trapped in the game, this online game they play. I love the aesthetic of the game, and I love the art in general of the book. I think it's really like creepy in a good way. And like some of the monster designs are absolutely insane, but also some of the character designs, like the characters they play in the games. There's one that's just a mushroom person that looks awesome. I love the art of this book. I think it's really cool, and it's a really compelling story. Definitely something I would recommend. Pick it up. It's only 2 issues in. You can catch up. Next up is IDW Publishing. And we do have 2 books, no, 3 books, excuse me, from IDW. 2 of them are Dungeons & Dragons books. And the first one is Dungeons & Dragons Fortune Finder. This one is written by Jim Zub, art by Jose Jaro, colored by Adam Guzowski, and letters by Omari Osorio. And this brings in the Finder story. And even though it didn't go quite where I thought it was going to go, being like a super D&D nerd, the name Finder really set me off on a different direction. But once I got over that tiny bit of a disappointment, it's so enjoyable. It's so much fun, and it's cute as hell. And so much things I want to steal and put in my own campaigns. That's always a good sign of a good D&D story, is if you want to steal some of it. So very cool. Really liked it. Big recommendation. Only 5 issue series. Easy pickup for a trade. I, again, recommend that highly. After that is Saturday Morning Adventures, Dungeons & Dragons, number 3, written by David M. Boer, art by George Combadeus, letter by Ed Dukeshar, colors by John Paul Bove and Kendall Good. With Bobby, with these pirates, it's up to the team to rescue him. And it's really cute. I really like it. I like Sheila being so concerned, because obviously it's her brother, and Sheila is my favorite character. I had the biggest crush on her when I was a kid. And just seeing them get to this point, and like the fact that Bobby isn't helpless and Bobby had a plan all along, was a really cool twist. I really like it. I think from what I'm understanding, there might be 1 issue left in the series. So it's a 4 issue mini. But yeah, give me an ongoing. Give this creative team an ongoing for this book. I love this. I said this last time the first volume ended. Give me more. And I want more. So keep buying it. Love it. Always. After that is the last IDW book, Ministry of Compliance, number 4, excuse me. Written by John Ridley, art by Stefano Raffali, colored by Brad Anderson, and letters by Sean Lee. With all these like double agent works, it all kind of comes down to a very important decision in the end, as to you can't play both sides forever. So in the end, which side are you going to pick? And I mean, it's not a clear-cut answer. There's not a good side and a bad side. Both sides have their points. And I think it's a really compelling story that leads to a really compelling decision. Very curious to see what everybody else is thinking about this book. I would love to talk to more people reading it to see what they think, but I'm really enjoying it. Very cool. The action's really cool. I like the characters a lot. The art is really good. I really, really enjoy it. It reminds me of something, but I can't place it, which makes me a terrible, terrible podcaster to not be able to describe it, but very good book. All right, let's talk Dynamite Comics. First of all, we say goodbye to Gargoyles for now. Gargoyles number 12. Of course, this is written by Greg Weisman, illustrated by George Kamadeus, letter by Jeff Eckelberry. This brings to end this run of Gargoyles, and it's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it, getting to know these characters again. Literally, it's a 12-issue run where we just spent the entire time relearning these characters. And also, we had a really cool story about what it means to be a gargoyle. Is there sentience? You know, what legally can we define it as? And I thought it was a really compelling story. I really, really liked it. We are going to get more gargoyles, they tell us at the end, which is awesome. But as a whole, this 12-issue run, big recommendation for anybody. So cool. Really, really liked it. Yeah, pick it up. My other Dynamite book is Lilo and Stitch number 2, written by Greg Pak, art and colors by Julia Giacomino, and letter by Jeff Eckelberry. With Stitch being taken away, he is found in New York City, where he goes to a toy convention, which is great. And it's a lot of fun. It does introduce a bit with a guy trying to sell toys, and they're just these hideously deformed koalas, but they're also adorable, and I want 100 of them. So really, really cool. Again, it's the themes of Lilo and Stitch. It's just reinforced the whole, you know, everything's about family, everything's about no one getting left behind and sticking together. And yeah, it's really good. I love Lilo and Stitch. It's one of my favorite Disney movies, so of course I was built to love this book. But yeah, big recommendation. I definitely recommend watching the movie if you haven't, obviously, because you might be a little lost if you haven't seen the movie, but who hasn't seen Lilo and Stitch? You know, it's so good. Pick it up. All right. Next publisher is Dark Horse Comics. Let's talk Quick Stops, Volume 2, Number 3, written by Kevin Smith, art by Ahmad Rafat, and letters by Andrew Thomas. this book is insane, and I love it so much. For those who don't remember, the Quick Stops, the first volume, was a bunch of little side stories in the Viewisk universe, but this is a 4-issue mini telling the origin of Mubi the cow from Mubi's, the restaurant in the Viewisk universe. And it's done via an interview with the vampire style, essentially. Actually, it's really, really Interview with the Vampire, and I think about it with the twist on this one, but it's wonderful because it really defies your expectations in this gloriously twisted way and just unrolls itself on you. And it's just magnificent to behold. I love it. It's so cool. I'm not going to spoil it because the twists are the thing. And yeah, you would really enjoy it. Just pick it up. If you have even a passing interest in Kevin Smith's work, this is a must read. After that is The Oddly Pedestrian Life of Christopher Chaos, number 8, a.k.a. Top Lock. I never get tired of that joke. Based on an idea by James Tynan IV, script by Tate Brumbull, art by Sue Lee, colors by Patricio Del Pech, and letters by Aditya Bidikar. This is part 2 of 2 of the story, the background of Adam Frankenstein, the character we were just introduced to in the first arc right at the end, to give us some background of him. And it is the traditional, you know, Frankenstein's monster story, but told in a really compelling way and with some definite, like, really nice changes that I really enjoyed. And the Frankenstein story, while compelling, isn't something that I ever really attached to very hard. But this one, I really found it great. I really thought it was really, really well told. And it's definitely something I love to know going into the future of the book. I think it's going to be very important and make my enjoyment of the actual book better. after that is If You Find This, I'm Already Dead, number 2. Script by Matt Kent, art by Dan McDade, colors by Bill Crabtree, and letter by Jim Campbell. You might remember this as the comic where they found an alternate reality Earth, and a group of soldiers and this reporter go through, and immediately all the soldiers are wiped out and the reporter's left alone, and she has to struggle through this alternate universe, not knowing the language, not knowing how anything works, and knowing that they're probably going to die, but they're going to do what they do, which is report. They're going to gather information. They're going to leave it behind so other people can see it. And with that kind of like desperation of purpose, it's just a really, really interesting story. And the way they can make this world so completely different than anything else we've ever seen, because it is this alternate world, they don't even have to base it on our world. So they can do whatever they want with it, and they go wild with it. It's really great. And not just visually, culturally, it's just really interesting to see what they come up with, and just great, really twisted way. Big recommendation for me. Next up, Dawn Runner, number 1. This one's script by Ram V, art by Evan Cagle, colors by Dave Stewart, and letters by Aditya Bidikar. This is a near future kind of prevent the apocalypse story. There will be comparisons to things like Gundam Wing or Pacific Rim, because it is robots fighting monsters. But I mean, no one owns that concept. But I like the twist here. And there's also, in addition to being really well drawn and like in an action way, there's a really cool final scene that I'm not going to get too much into, but it asks some questions. And I think that this is going to be the core of the book. This is going to be what it's really about, in addition to robots fighting monsters. But it's going to answer or ask a question that I think is going to be a very interesting thing for us all to talk about. So big recommendation. It's Ram V. We all know it's just pick it up because it's Ram V, if nothing else. But everybody really pulls their weight in this book. Very, very good. Next up is final Dark Horse book is Star Wars: The High Republic Adventures Crash Landing, written by Daniel Jose Older, illustrated by Rochelle Aragno, colored by Michael Tea, and letters by Tyler Smith and Jimmy Betancourt of Comicraft. I really dug this. This is like a little side story that is prepping us for something coming forward, which is a series called Crash and Burn. But I mean, I'm not going to talk too much about this story. It is a one-shot, it appears, and it's definitely an interesting time to throw a new one-shot in with everything going on in the other two books. But I did really enjoy it, and I love everything The High Republic. I mean, I can't. It's just the best. But really interesting. Really interesting. And I think that a lot of people really, really enjoy it. So pick it up. It's definitely something you would love if you are enjoying The High Republic as a whole. Next up is Distillery Media. I got the one Distillery book this week, but what a book. It is Somna, number 3, the finale. Story and art by Becky Cloonan and Tula Latte, colors by Lee Luffridge, D. Conniff, and Tula Latte, and letters by Lucas Gattoni. When I was at my comic book store, this book sold out, and I was like, oh no, I'm not going to be able to review it. And I went up to the front, and my good friend Mads, at the front counter, who has been invaluable to helping me find books, as well as have some nice banter every Wednesday, was standing there. And it's like, you don't happen to have a copy of Somna in the back, do you? And she looks over, and there's a copy right next to her, and she goes, I don't know who this is for. And I'm like, is there a note on it or anything? She's like, I don't think so. So she checked, didn't seem like it was for anybody. So she was my rescuer and was able to get me a copy. I highly recommend this book. This is the first Distillery book to come to an end. It came to a very emotional and very, very conflicted end, but it's a work of art. This little 3-issue series, in addition to just being visually beautiful, both art styles are just perfect for the story they're telling. Just the entire thing is just a amazing work of art, and it's something that it's the perfect book to get my friends into Distillery. This would be the one I'm going to hand them. I love Gone. I love it. Some of my friends aren't into sci-fi. And Blasphemous is great, but I could see where with only one issue out, it might not hook people just quite like Somna does. But Somna is the complete package. Really enjoy it. Again, I can't stress enough how great the art is. The tale coming from the simple idea of the accusation of witchcraft and telling the story as it's told and leaving so many questions out there and leaving so much for us to interpret. It was really, really well done. I love this book. Big recommendation from me. Please pick it up because I want Distillery to continue for a long time. All right, let's open the vault. Vault Comics. I only got the one book, but what a book. The Nasty, number 8. Story by John Lees, art by Adam Cahoon, colors by Kurt Michael Russell, and letter by Jim Campbell. This is the finale of The Nasty, and what a finale. I really liked this book so much. It's so great. And as someone from like me, who is not a horror fan, it was still so good. And it still touched on a lot of themes that I really liked. And I like that it was, in the end, it was about friendships. It was about a group of friends coming together. It was about fighting for your passions. And it's about, you know, finding a community that like supports you and all really great stuff. And just with a couple really, really great characters, especially the two leads, I really enjoyed them so much throughout. Very good book. It's a shame it's coming to an end. We get a little bit of a tease that maybe that's not the end. Maybe there'll be more. And hey, I'm down for it. Let's go. I'm totally down for that. I am all for a few more Vault books going a little bit longer than they do, because as much as I love Vaults, a lot of their series go 5 issues, done. And yeah, let's go a little bit longer. I think that'd be great. So, The Nasty, number 8, pick up the whole run. I'm sure it'll be a trade and you will not be disappointed. Very, very good. All right, let's talk Image comic books. I hope you're ready. Cobra Commander, number 3, written by Joshua Williamson, art by Andrea Milana, color by Annalisa Leone, and letter by Russ Wooton. This is continuing this story of, you know, Cobra Commander in the swamplands and running into this group. The thing here is just he's so terrifyingly creepy while doing so little. His creepiest moments in this is when he's not talking, when there's this blood smeared across his face, and it's just utterly terrifying. And just the visual aspect of it is so good, but also the bit of talking he does, just the little bit, just to prove exactly where his strengths are. It's just really, really well done. Really gives you an idea of who Cobra Commander is and what exactly G.I. Joe is up against when they fight him. So very cool. Great way to establish the character for a new audience. After that, Kill Your Darlings, number 7. Story is Ethan S. Parker and Griffin Sheridan, art by Robert Quinn, letters by John J. Hill. With all the big revelations of the last few issues, there's a massive exodus of the imaginary creatures in her world trying to leave the city before it's destroyed. And it's just heartbreaking. And the juxtaposition of all these like Disney-esque cartoon characters with this mass destruction and death is so good, and it's done really, really well. And it's really emotional, and it is a turning point for our hero, I think. I think it's definitely, this is going to be a point that we're going to look back on in the end and say, that's where everything changed. That's where they made a decision. Very good stuff. Really, really digging it. Definitely pick this one up too. After that is The Six Fingers, number 2. Written by Dan Waters, art by Sumit Kumar, color by Lee Lefridge, and letter by Aditi Bidikar. I won't talk too much about this one because I already talked about the one hand on the other side of it. But it is presenting, obviously, the one hand number 2 from a different perspective. And it is really interesting because I've seen similar stories told from 2 different perspectives, but it's usually by the same writer. And having 2 writers do it with their own style, it's just fascinating. And it also enables a writer to not have a favorite, to not have a reliable narrator and an unreliable narrator. So it's very interesting because, you know, it's almost like a writer picks a side. And it definitely adds more ambiguity. Not so much that this person is doing the right thing, but to see their side and see what's going on their side. And Yeah, I really like it. I think it's a really cool idea. And I think, again, the creative team chosen is perfect for this run. So keep it up. Duke 4, written by Joshua Williamson, art by Tom Riley, color by Jordi Belair, and letter by Russ Wooten. From what I understand, this is the penultimate issue. Yeah, because in the letters it says we have one issue left. And yeah, it's Duke escaping from captivity and just not quite getting away, doing his Duke thing, which is really, really great. But trouble's going to follow him. He's not going to just get away that easily. So really like it. Again, I wasn't a G.I. Joe kid. I did know a bit about him because I absorbed every bit of lore I could of anything, but it wasn't something I was ever really fascinated about. But I really like this run. I'm really digging it, and I can't wait for it to tie more directly into Transformers if it's going to. So really good. Very good. If you like G.I. Joe, it's a must read. Next up is Local Man, Bad Girls. Story and art by Tim Seeley and Tony Fleeks, with colors by Brad Simpson, Felipe Sobrero, Brian Reber. And I love this book. It's so good. Local Man is one of my favorite Image books. And it's just this really great pastiche of Image comics from the 90s, but also this modern storytelling that I just love. And just, it's so over the top. And the idea behind this one, when the flashback of this one, being a world where all the men disappeared and the women just have to get on with things. And they basically make Earth a paradise. They basically are able to resolve all their issues. And then the men come back. Like, I'm like, yeah, I know. But it's really, really good. I really like it. It's a nice little companion to the Local Man story, which is continuing to be one of the best local, or one of the best books on the racks. Big recommendation for me. All right, I teased it earlier. This is our second pet-based number one of this week, Feral. This one is from one of my favorite creative teams ever, writer Tony Fleeks, art by Trish Forstner with Tone Rodriguez, colors by Brad Simpson, Cougar Magic by Sarah Richard. This is so much fun to see Tony and Trish back together. I interviewed them once upon a time and had such a good time talking about Stray Dogs. And this is yet another amazing animal-based tale. And it's definitely different. It's definitely doing its own thing. And I really like it. It's obviously going to be cat-based in this time instead of dog-based. There is a tease at the end of what we're going to be dealing with. And it's absolutely like, it sets up what we're going to be dealing with in a way that I'm fascinated by, that I'm like, okay, how are we going to tell this tale? What's going to happen? There's so many things that could happen with that little tease. And I think it was just really well done just to throw it out there and let it sit there just as an info page too. Very, very cool. All right. Now let's talk about my book of the week, Knights number 6. I am a sucker for Wyatt Kennedy's work, so I keep making Knights my book of the week, but as soon as it's not the best book of the week, I won't do that. Written by Wyatt Kennedy, art by Luigi Formasano, colored by Francesco Sagala, with assistance by Gloria Martinelli, and letters by Maria Letizia Mirabella. This is coming literally as the beach episode I quoted last time ends, and we see a major, major change in what's happening, what's going to happen here. And like, it's really interesting to see like how Gray has changed and to get the revelation of Gray's true nature and what's going to happen with Gray and to see their relationship change. And it really makes me very interested to see where it's going to go. Like, how far are we going to go from here? And knowing Wyatt, we could go forever or we could shut down next time and complete the story. And it could go either way, to be honest with you. I love this book. It's absolutely incredible. It's a really cool story with some really fun characters. Gray is one of my favorite comic book characters right now, period. Big recommendation. Also, every issue has its own merch, and every issue has its own soundtrack, which is something I love. I love that Wyatt is a huge music nerd. That's why we had him on Jukebox Vertigo back in the day. And yeah, just love seeing that again. Next up is the final issue in my final Image book for the week, The Dead Lucky number 12. written by Melissa Flores, art by French Carlo Magno, color by Mattia Iacono, color assistance by Luca Mattioni, and letters by Becca Carey. So this is the end of BB's series. And I really enjoyed this book. I thought it was so well done. I thought that it was a really complete story. And I do like that it kind of is complete in its own like little package, but is still part of the Massiverse and can come up later on. I think that's really interesting. And I really think that how do I put this? I love the Massiverse. I think it's something that is important for comics right now, to have this amazing, diverse superhero universe that is not like, how do I put this? It's not Marvel or DC. Let's just be honest. It's just not Marvel or DC. So it's really nice to see something a little bit different. Yeah, very good. This is the end of the run, 12 issues. So, you know, that's going to be a nice, pretty trade. Make sure to pick that up. I think you'll probably dig it. So, all right. Next up is DC Comics. And we got, again, it's a double week, so we'll get to this as quickly as we can together. Let's see here. First up, let's go Green Lantern War Journal number 7. This one, I wish DC would put their credits at the beginning of the book like everybody else. It always takes me a minute. This one is written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, art by Montos, colored by Adriana Lucas, and letter by Dave Sharp. Continuing the story of John Stewart with what was going on in his world with his mother, who, you know, is dying and hallucinating. He's trying to take care of her while also do his duty to be, you know, the best Green Lantern. Let's be honest with ourselves. And then suddenly in the middle of all this, he's just thrown into the middle of nowhere, in space, unrecognizable space. And he has this struggle of like, he needs to take care of his mother. He needs to do the right thing, but he also is a soldier. He also is someone who defends, and, you know, he's going to do the right thing. So I always like that interesting thought of John is, you know, that he is the one who will do the right thing no matter what. And he's just torn by that. And I think it's really fun. Obviously I'm really curious about what's going to happen, what's happening to him out here, why is he here, where are we going with this, but it's really good. I'm really enjoying his book just as much as Howell's, maybe a little bit more, maybe, but we'll see where it's going to go from here. Next up, JSA, Justice Society of America, number 9. This one is written by Jeff Johns, art by Mikael Janin, color by Jordi Belair, and letter by Rob Lay. I love this continuing idea of the JSA working with Huntress to get all these villains that she once made at JSA and turn them into a team, to a JSA team. And it's like some really good characters that I enjoy. It kind of reminds me when Killer Frost was in the Justice League for about half an issue but last year, which was really, really cool. But I love the recruitment stuff. I love the different characters they're picking. I think it's a really inspired choice of characters. And we get a really big surprise when we meet the new Legionnaire and we find out who it is. And that's a twist I didn't see coming. Very interesting. And it definitely brings us back to the first arc and makes me wonder, what's going to happen here? So big thing. I'm not going to spoil it. It's a great reveal. So you read it yourself. Next up, Alan Scott Green Lantern number 5, presumably of 6 because the other books were 6, written by Tim Sheridan, art by Sean Tormey, colors by Matt Harms and Hi-Fi, and letter by Lucas Gattoni. Red Lantern and Green Lantern are at each other's throats fighting, but it's not that simple. Like Red Lantern doesn't have the full truth, and he's fighting on behalf of like his country, but is his country fighting on behalf of him? We kind of get a reveal here, and it does add an interesting angle into his perspective and gives you a little bit of empathy for him and where he's coming from. And it definitely raises the question for me of what's going to happen at the end of it, because there was a very simple solution of Green Lantern beats up the bad guy and arrests him even though he doesn't want to. But that's not really the answer any longer. And that there's other options that can really be very interesting. And also, the very last page, of course, teases a very massive team up, and I love it. So we'll talk about that later on, next issue probably. Next up, The Flash, number 8. Oh my God, this book is messing with my normal. Written by Cy Spurrier, art by Ramon Perez, colored by Sophie Dodgson, and lettered by Hassan Atzmani and Howe. A lot of focus in this one on Bart and Max Mercury, who are my two favorite Flash characters for the record, except for maybe Jesse Quick. And I love what we're building here, the story that we're building about the speedsters. I love when the speedster family is treated as a whole, when they're treated as a unit, and they have some other force going against them. I think that's the most compelling Flash storytelling. Not the solo Barry and Wally stuff. I'm not as much fan of that as I am this stuff where we remember the whole team. I really liked it. It's really cool. It's very eerie. Like, I feel like since Future State, Flash has been really creepy, like visually, and I really like it. This book, especially this issue, is just really creepy. The art is wonderful, and I think it really fits the story, but there's a lot of creep factor, which is really interesting because that's not the first thing I think of with Flash, but it really works. After that is Green Arrow, number 10. Written by Joshua Williamson, art by Sean Exarchi and Todd Derenick, colored by Romeo Farr Jr., and lettered by Troy Pateri, excuse me. This is so great. Seeing Connor and Ollie on this mission to go get Roy back, and they get ambushed. And who do they get ambushed by? But other members of the Arrow fam, including Red Canary, which I'm very excited to see Red Canary there. And Mia and Red Arrow and Arrowhead. I love them all. It's so great. Arrowhead's barely a member of the fam, like basically just by name. But to see them all together and seeing them team up, this is what this book was sold to me as, was a Arrow fam book, which I am here for 100%. Unpopular opinion, I care more about the Arrow fam than the Bat fam, 100%. So very cool. Really, really, really enjoyed it. And we're leading to some stuff. Now, if you are asking, I'm very sick of Amanda Waller. I'm so sick of Amanda Waller. I'm so sick of Peacemaker. I really, whatever this is building to, I just wanted to happen. Because none of the stories are bad. I just don't like these characters, and they're in every issue that I read. We're going to talk about them in the next one, too. And just, all right, let's cool it off. So, next up, Titans, number 9. Yep. Written by Tom Taylor, art by Lucas Meyer, colored by Adriana Lucas, and lettered by Wes Abbott once again. It's about Waller coming out of Beast World, slandering the Titans, and setting a little, you know, mole within the Titans to cause damage. Not so much she did it so much as a demon did it, but seeing this mole, and it's just interesting because you got this Dark Raven, and there's questions of exactly, is she just darkness? Is she evil, pure evil? And it doesn't seem like it, and I'm wondering if that nuance is going to be incredibly important in the end. That's a really good tease. And then Beast Boy's like uncertainty of his role and like what he's able to contribute and the people hating him. Really interesting. I really, really enjoy it. In another issue, there was, I think it's in Nightwing, there is a part where Beast Boy talks to Superman or Batman about it, where he's like, hey, you're used to people hating you. And I thought that was a really cool story to kind of like supplement what's going on in Titans. So very well done. I like when big brands like Marvel and DC have synergy, and that's a really good example of it. All right. Now, the book of the other week for me, Keith's book of the week, is Wonder Woman number 7. Oh my God. This book, guys, killed me. Written by Tom King, art by Guy March, colored by Reeve Prianto, and lettered by Clayton Cowles. First of all, this is one of my favorite artists in comics, so you knew I was going to love it. Second of all, this is one of the most enjoyable books I've ever read. Like, I could read it. It reminds me of the issue in Civil War where the Thing goes to France and joins the French version of the Avengers, where it's just enjoyable and fun and just a celebration of who these characters are. I love it. Essentially, Wonder Woman and Superman go to a intergalactic mall, and they're shopping for Batman's birthday gift. And I love every moment of this book. It's some of the best dialogue. There's so many great jokes, like Superman's name being spelled wrong on a Starbucks order, and just them trying all these different like ideas for presents. Villains just trying to take shots at them because they're there, and just them constantly making fun of each other and themselves. It's just enjoyable. Clark getting a pedicure is just amazing. Like, I love everything about this book. This is one that I'm going to make other people read, even if they know context, because it's so much fun. And the resolution of his birthday present is really great. I think it's really well told. I think it's a smart idea. It's very appropriate for their relationship with Batman. One of the most perfect issues I've read this year. I love it. I have no problems with it. Next up is Amazon's Attack, number 6. This is the finale of Amazon's Attack. Written by Josie Campbell, art by Vasco Georgiev, colored by Alex Gamaris, and letter by Becca Carey. As we wrap up the story, which I've really, really enjoyed, I think back when this was announced and people were like, oh, Amazon's Attack was one of the worst crossovers ever. Why would you do it again? And it just reminds me how alarmist the comic community can be and how they overreact to everything. I really enjoyed this. It's a great tie-in to what's going on in Wonder Woman. I love that we are getting the spotlight on these other Amazons, specifically the Wonder Girls, because I love them, and not just relying on seeing them in the Wonder Woman book. So I thought this was a lot of fun, a really good story about what they're struggling with while Diana's doing her thing and what it means to be an Amazon. And the whole thing recently of the Amazons is it's not just the Themyscirans. And the idea of like, oh, only the Themyscirans are the real Amazons. It comes up in this issue and it's addressed. And, you know, it's so exclusive to do that. You know what I mean? And it lacks inclusivity. And I think it's really well told. And I think it also is a bit of a message to people who might have their own idea about what a Wonder Woman story should be. And I like that. I like that a lot. So very good. Really enjoying it, and I cannot wait to see what is happening in Wonder Woman once they go back to that story. So, very cool. Next up is Catwoman, number 63. This one is written by Teenie Howard, art by Carmine Giandomenico, color by Veronica Gandini, and lettered by Lucas Gattoni. With Selina taking on all these missions that are high probability of death because she has lives to spare, she takes on one that is questionable, that requires going underwater, which cats famously love, and is really good. I really enjoy it. It's a great exploration of her character and what is important to her, and I think that's really, really well done. And it is furthering this plot of like her taking these bigger risks. And the question is, once she's out of lives, once she's on her last life, is she going to be able to go back to stop taking risks? Like, a lot of Selina's thing is taking risks, and now is she going to be able to rein it in? Is she going to struggle with that? I think that's an interesting thought, but really good, really enjoying it. Definitely a pickup. After that is Nightwing 112. God, isn't Nightwing the best? Like, I love this book so much. This is part 2 of this showcase of how good Dick is as a person and how what makes him different than Batman. And how Batman understands that what makes them different, and how Dick is what Batman wishes he could be, but he knows he has to be Batman and Dick has to be Nightwing. And I think he's just incredibly happy that Dick is there so that people can have him. Traveling across the world to rescue this one kid, I think is just so cool. Written by Tom Taylor, art by Samir Basri, inked by Vicente Cifuentes, colored by Adriana Lucas, and lettered by Wes Abbott. Very good stuff. Continuing this massive, amazing run for Nightwing, may it last forever. Next up is Harley Quinn 38. This one is written by Teenie Howard, art by Natasha Bustos, color by Nick Filardi, and letter by Steve Wands. This is Harley's birthday, and all of her friends show up and throw her birthday party. And it's a lot of fun, but it also leads to her like kind of like reevaluating what she's doing. And the fact that she is like a criminal like psychologist, and she's trying to like, how can she put that to use? And she finds a new way, which I think is really cool. It's definitely a pivot. I did like when she was redeeming the clowns and helping the clowns recover, but definitely she needs something else. And I think we get a cool angle on that. I love this book. The only thing I didn't like is Kevin wasn't at her birthday party. Where's Kevin? Like, but other than that, really, really great. After that is the super books. Let's start with Power Girl number 7. Seeing Karen Page in this mystical world, I loved it. Written by Leah Williams, art by Marguerite Sauvage, letter by Becca Carey. I just love this so much because you take these two characters that I love. I absolutely love these characters. Take away their powers, throw them in a fantasy world. Let's just have a goofy fantasy world story for two issues. So good. So much fun. Watching them do their thing. Watching Paige just be a little uncomfortable with things and watching Kara kind of like embrace it, which is fun. Just really great character study. And again, I love that we're getting a bunch of stories with these two because we need to develop this relationship. It was told from one perspective. It was told when they were distant, and now we're bringing them together. And I think this is a really great way to start. So very good. More of this, please. After that is Superman number 12. This one is the let's do the creative team. Written by Joshua Williamson, art by David Baldion and Norm Rutman, color by Rex Locus, and letter by Ariana Mayer. So Lex Luthor's past has come back to haunt him, and he is being attacked by the Lex Luthor Revenge Squad, who try to turn Superman against Lex, but fail. And it's up to Lex to save Metropolis. And it's really cool because Superman can't go out because of all this kryptonite. It'll kill him basically immediately. So he has to stay behind. He has to be the guy in the chair. And he embraces it. He embraces the potential of Supercorps and is the guy in the chair and does what he can, you know, from there to help. I thought that was a really great idea. I love the reversal roles with Lex out there in the suit saving people while Superman's trying to save him. Very cool. Very interesting. It also leads to a pretty climactic choice at the end, so that's going to definitely have some impact on the future, but very, very cool. I'm loving this run of Superman. Very good. All right. You guys know what time it is. It's time to make mine Marvel. Star Wars, The High Republic, number 5. Written by Kevin Scott, pencils by Ario Anandito and Marika Cresta, inks by Mark Morales and Marika Cresta, color by Jim Campbell, and letter by Ariana Mayer. We do get to see Keeve finally come face to face with Skeer, and yeah, it's just an emotional reunion is what I'll say. And it doesn't go as planned necessarily, but it doesn't go as bad as it could have. And Lernadi certainly does not help the situation, but common ground is found, but the question is, how long is it going to last? Is it stable? And I don't know. But in the middle of the High Republic, I mean, they can take all the allies they can get. So really cool. Loving it. Next up, Night Thrasher number 2, written by Jay Holtham, art by Nelson Daniel, color by Matt Meehan, letter by Travis Lanham. I really like the story. I've said this before. I'm a big New Warriors fan. I've always loved the New Warriors. And to see Night Thrasher get his own book and to see not just him, but Silhouette and other New Warriors make appearances is really cool. And to see him kind of have to ask, what's he doing? What does he represent? What's the point of what he's doing? Is he doing the right thing? I thought it was really cool. And it's a good question for him specifically to ask. And I don't know where we go from here. And I'm very curious to see where. Very good book. I hope you're all reading it. Gives you a great idea who Night Thrasher is if you're not familiar. So after that is Blade 9. Oh my God, Blade 9. Written by Brian Hill, art by Valentina Pinti, color by KJ Diaz, and letter by Corey Petit. Blade is making his final preparations to fight the Adana to prevent the destruction of the world of existence. And it seems like every issue, his preparations get darker and darker and darker and grimmer and more questionable. And it's no exception in this issue, but I think he's ready. I think he's ready to actually do what needs to be done and to draw his prey out. We got one issue left and it's going to be intense and I cannot wait. So I'll withhold all my major judgments until then, but definitely really, really good run so far. After that is Captain Marvel number 6, written by Alyssa Wong, art by Rory Coleman, color by Brian Valenza, and letter by Ariana Mayer. It is a Marvel family reunion, though not in the best circumstances. Carol is reunited with both her sister as well as Billy and Teddy, and they're trying to resolve this situation, and it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. I love the dynamic of her and her new sidekick. I think that's a lot of fun. And I'm kind of worried how long it'll last. Maybe someone might be in a little bit of trouble, I say without spoiling anything, but I'm really enjoying this run. I think it's very good. I think Carol is a very compelling character. I think she, in storyline, is very different than a lot of people probably realize that she's like. She is so straight-laced and she's so authoritative. I don't think people who don't read her comics don't really understand the character. And yeah, very, very good. You should definitely be picking up because she is really compelling. Next up is Black Panther number 10. And this is the end of this run. Written by Eve L. Ewing, penciled by Chris Allen, inked by Craig Young, Orin Jr. with Chris Allen, colors by Jesus Bardoff and Andrew Dallas, and letter by Joe Sabino. So Black Panther spends this entire 10 issues learning about his country, learning about the lowest levels of his country, not just the tops of the towers and the meeting rooms and everything, but just learning about the general population. And I think this book served its purpose very well, in addition to not just giving him an education about his people, but giving us a different view of Wakanda. I think it's a very interesting story. I think it's something that I think is a very integral part of the story of Wakanda that is not really told very well. So, very good, very excited about that. Definitely something I am very curious to see what other people thought about. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. Also, keep an eye out for Black Panther going to be in Blood Hunt, which is very, very exciting. I'm very excited about that crossover. So, next up is Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver number 2, written by Steve Orlando, art by Lorenzo Tometa, color by Frank William, and letter by Joe Caramagna. We are continuing this. I do love that we have this team-up story of the two of them, but they're almost immediately split up in the first issue. So they're kind of having to fight their way back to each other. I've made no secret in the past. I love Pietro. I love Eurotrash Pietro especially. He's so good. And he's fantastic in this as well. I love the snap attack. I think that's really cool. And Wanda is one of my favorite, Marvel characters. I think she's really, really cool. And I love the use of the wizard. I think he's a great villain. And giving him a huge upgrade and making him a genuine threat, I think is very interesting and, creative idea. It's something I definitely think we can play with in the future. Very, very cool. After that is Vengeance of the Moon Knight number 3. Ah, it's so good. This one is told from Soldier's point of view, because after Moon Knight has passed, we're getting stories almost like the stages of grief from the different members of the Midnight Mission. Written by Jed McKay, art by Alessandro Capuccio, color by Rochelle Rosenberg, and letter by Corey Petit. Soldier, I love Soldier's role in this. I think it's the most compelling of the ones so far because his idea is, I'm not the guy. I'm the guy that stands next to the guy. And I love that. It's a story trope that I really love, a character trope that I love. I love that guy that knows who he is. Amos in The Expanse is my favorite character in The Expanse because he knows who he is and he knows what he does. And I think Soldier's, this is my favorite issue for Soldier ever, just to see that compelling story and knowing he has to maybe step up a bit. Maybe he has to be a bit more of a leader. Although he has other people around him, maybe he needs to have more initiative. Very interesting. And also this continuing investigation of who this imposter Moon Knight is so good, so fascinating. I cannot wait to find out. All right, next up is Fantastic Four, number 18, written by Ryan North, art by Carlos Gomez, colored by Jesus Abertov, and letter by Joe Caramagna. I love how the Fantastic Four is... There's this awesome thread running through all these stories, but a lot of them are like standalones, but they're tied together. This is a great standalone story that kind of teases the fact that Franklin still has his powers. Franklin is still the most powerful being ever. And him having to deal with that while also trying to be a kid, it's really good. It's a really good development. I love Franklin. You guys know I read Power Pack as a kid, so little baby Franklin was my boy. I loved him. I thought he was great. And to see him kind of get this spotlight is really interesting. What I'd really like is for him to run into Katie Power again. And now that they're both a little bit grown up, I'd like to see them interact again because they always picked on each other for so long. And yeah, really good. But I love this book. Ryan's done an amazing job with Fantastic Four, and the art has been perfect every issue. So good. And just so good. Next up is Incredible Hulk 10, written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, guest art by Danny Earls, colored by Matt Wilson, and letter by Corey Petit. The Hulk loose in New Orleans trying to find Charlie, trying to save her, is really interesting. I love the way this unfolds, because it's literally like, imagine you have a Batman story where he's trying to find a perpetrator, but imagine instead of being subtle like Batman, it's just the Hulk and he's just tearing through shit. I really, really like it. The art in this run, these two issues especially, is so utterly terrifyingly creepy. It's off the scale. It's so good. And New Orleans is a creepy place. If you've never been, it's just a creepy place in general. So it really captures that really well. I really like this. I think it's really great. I wonder if we're only going to be here for another issue. We'll see, but it's been a really good run so far. Next up is Gods, number 6, written by Jonathan Hickman, art by Valerio Schiti, colored by Marte Grassi, and letter by Travis Lanham. After the revelation of the last issue, there's a bit of, I guess you could say, regret Echo has. And she goes on, there's no other word for it, a mythological quest to resolve the mistake that she feels she made. And it's really interesting, really compelling and in-depth, and just teases at so many things. And I love the scale of this book so much. Like, it's so much higher above everything else. And you feel it when you read it. It's almost like it's not in the Marvel Universe sometimes. It's very interesting. But very cool. I like this as Echo's first, like, highlight issue. And I definitely helped me understand her character better and make me attach to her more. And it's really good. Really, really, really good. I highly recommend it. But I recommend this whole run. It's been incredible. Next up is Thunderbolts, number 4. This is the finale of this run. Only 4 issues. Written by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly. Art by Geraldo Borges. Colored by Arthur Hesley. And letter by Joe Sabino. So this team has been working to take down the Red Skull. And they've grown in size as they've gone. It's Bucky Barnes. It's the Contessa. White Widow. Black Widow. Shang-Chi. U.S. Agent. The Destroyer. And Red Guardian. And I love this. It also might sound familiar because it sounds pretty similar to the group we currently have planned for the movie upcoming. And this run can kind of give you an idea of how cool that's going to be. I see some people kind of cold on the Thunderbolts movie. And I just want to tell you, no, this is going to be really good. Just read this series and you can see the potential that's going to be there. I loved this run. I think, again, any book with Thunderbolts in it, I'm going to love just by default. But the future of this franchise, I think, is really interesting and something that I think is something they should definitely play with, something they should do something with. And they do tease maybe they're going to go after somebody else. And there's a couple of interesting photographs on the table. Quite a few Spidey villains is what I'll say. But very good. Next up, Daredevil 7. It's our final non-Spidey, non-X-Men book. Written by Saladin Ahmed, art by Aaron Cooter, colored by Jesus Aberdov and lettered by Clayton Cowles, with Matt fighting off his seven deadly sins in the form of his friends. He's fought off She-Hulk and a couple others. Who comes a calling but Wolverine? And immediately I knew this is going to be rough because it's Wolverine. And they actually subverted my expectations. I thought it was really good because, first of all, it's violent and bloody and just horrifically violent. I can't even explain it. And Matt assumes, much like I would, that Wolverine represents his wrath. But no, he represents his lust. And that clicked with me, and I was like, I love that. It's just, as soon as I read that, I was like, I love it. That's so good. Because this is Wolverine's lust, but it's also Daredevil's lust. Part of him really loves the fight. You know, he was raised by a boxer. He was raised to fight. Well, his dad didn't raise him to fight, but his dad taught him to fight, how to defend himself. And he's been doing it his entire life. At a certain level, he's got to enjoy it. And especially if you're that good at it, you're going to enjoy it. I thought it was really compelling. Really good story. And man, there's more coming. There's more coming, and I can't wait. All right, Spidey Books, Spider-Boy, number 5, written by Dan Slott, art by Paco Medina and Julian Shaw, colors by Eric Arseniega and Edgar Delgado, letter by Joe Caramaga. With Bailey's on the run because everybody thinks he's the bad guy, because Boy Spider framed him. And he's just on the run, but of course he ends up, like, he's going to do the right thing, isn't he? He's a spider person. If someone's in trouble, especially someone he cares about, he's going to do the right thing and he's going to help. And that does lead him to come and face to face with an old friend, if you will. And we do get a little bit more insight into the person who created him and what happened when he was erased from reality for a while, the long-term effects of that. And that's very interesting. But I loved it. I thought it was really cool. I like Bailey a lot. And I'll just keep that going when I talk about the next issue, which is Spider-Woman, number 5, which also features Bailey. Written by Steve Fox, art by Corella Borelli, colored by Arif Prianto, and letter by Josepino. With Jess kind of in mourning, essentially, because of the loss of her son to Hydra, Carol's trying her best to help, but Carol gets called away because she's Carol and she always has something going on. And that leads Jess into running into Bailey, and her and Bailey have to team up for a brief team up. Of course, she doesn't remember him, but she knows what it's like to be erased. And the fact that Bailey remembers her son is such a comfort to her, something that she really enjoys. And I thought that was such a good idea of a team up. Not the kind of thing you would think, oh, this needs to happen. But with these little edges, you're like, yeah, that makes so much sense. I really liked it. I thought it was really cool. Big fan of this. I love that Jess has her own book again because she's one of my favorite spider people. She's probably my favorite spider person in the main world. Yeah, probably. But so good. Next up, I'll briefly talk about Web of Spider-Man number 1. I'm not going to list the creative teams. There's too many. But this is a really cool tease of all the Marvel spider books we're going to get over the next year. Check it out. That's all I'm going to say. Very cool. Next up, Edge of Spider-Verse number 2. It's featuring two stories. The Terrible Horror of the Spooky Man by Kari Andrews with art by Bob Quinn, colored by Brian Rayburn, letter by Joe Caramagna, and Cyborg Spider-Man with Rich Duick, penciled by Edgar Salazar, inked by Victor Olazaba, colored by Alex Sinclair, letter by Joe Caramagna. I love the aesthetic of the Spooky Man. Very, very creepy Scotty Young, very John and Vasquez, like just this eerie stuff. The kind of stuff in the late 90s, the goth kid you knew, loved. And I love it because I was that kid. So very, very cool. Alternate style story and just love it. The Cyborg one is such a cool almost throwback to the 90s and how over the top Cyborg everything is, and it's so good. I really like it. I love the mishmash costume that he has. I love the enhanced villains. Just very, very cool. I love these alternate Spider-Man where we get to have fun. We get to do something experimental, and yeah, very, very cool. So big recommendation. And yeah. After that is Superior Spider-Man number 5, written by Dan Slott. Or sorry, story by Dan Slott, written by Christos Gage. Penciled by Mark Bagley. Inked by John Dell. colored by Edgar Delgado, letter by Joe Caramagna. With Peter proving to Otto that he is the superior Spider-Man, Otto accepting that, it seemed like they were on the same page, right? Oh, no. In the end, Otto's going to do Otto. And even though Peter's trying to do the right thing, save everybody, Otto feels, hey, he might not be the superior Spider-Man, but there's a new Spider-Boy on scene. Maybe he'll be the superior Spider-Boy. And of course, that's what happens. And now it's very curious to see what's going to happen from here. I also curious, that's our third Bailey appearance in this episode, which I think is great. But yeah, we're going to have a great conflict with Spider-Man and Spider-Boy. Is Otto going to be honest about what happened? Is he going to try to hide it? We'll see. And then how does Supernova tie into all this? Because I really like the character. She's obviously not evil. She's just hurt. And I'm curious to see what they're going to do there, too. Next up is Black Cat, or Jackpot and Black Cat, written by Celeste Bronfen, art by Emilio Lasso, colored by Ryan Rayburn, letter by Ariana Mayer. Once again, teaming up MJ and Black Cat, and I love it. I love it, love it, love it. There were like six covers, and I tried to decide which one to get, and you'll see the one I got on Twitter. But I love the arc of this. I love Felicia just being Felicia, MJ being MJ. They're both really in character. They're both approaching a problem from the same direction. And I love their friendship. I love how their friendship has evolved, how they were rivals for so long. And now they're kind of like besties, but like besties that don't quite click perfectly. And I love that. I think it's a really great dynamic. And we're definitely going to see some conflict between them. So I'm very curious to see what's going to happen. But definitely a pickup, 100%. This is a great book. Next up is Miles Morales, Spider-Man, number 18, a.k.a. number 300. There are 300 Miles Morales issues out there, guys. I'm so old right now, okay? Now, there's so many artists involved, I can't tag them all on Twitter, so I apologize to them. I did tag Cody Ziegler as the writer, but I will read the artists out. David Marquez, Sarah Pacelli, Juan Cabal, Matt Horak, Luciano Vecchio, Federico Vincentini, with colors by Brian Valenz and letter by Corey Petit. This great story going on with Miles and Rabble, and her being his new arch nemesis, which I think is a really good fit. I think it's a really good character to be his arch nemesis. I think he can see her point of view, but at the same time, doesn't want her to just run free and do what she wants. And yeah, really great story. Using the Cape Killers in a really interesting way. The Cape Killers have been a really like welcome addition to the Miles canon as of late. And I really like these characters. I love Scorpion being kind of like the reluctant bad guy, but also the reluctant good guy. You know, he's kind of goes both ways, which I totally dig with my Spidey villains. Also, they bring in my boy, the Rhino, as a good guy. Fun fact, Rhino is probably my favorite Spider-Man villain, and he should not be a Spider-Man villain. He should be a good guy. I love Rhino. What Marvel has done with Juggernaut, they should do with Rhino, because I absolutely love him so much. And to see him on the side of the Angels is really, really cool. So great stuff. What a celebration of Miles. And here's for 300 more, and even more than that. Next up is Ultimate Spider-Man number 3. This one is written by Jonathan Hickman, art by Marco Cicchetto, color by Matthew Wilson, letter by Corey Petit. With this version of Peter getting used to his powers, he comes across another costume person who's also, doing a bit of costume fighting. And there's a little bit of ambiguity on which side they're on, but they do end up conflicting over the new Bullseye. So they do come face to face, and it's a goblin, of course. And we do find out who the goblin is. It's Harry Osborn. Harry and Peter together yet again in a whole new reality. Say what you will, but it seems like Harry and Peter find themselves more and more universes than MJ and Peter. So make of that what you will, but I really, really like this. Building this new Ultimate Universe is very, very cool. After that is Spider-Punk 2. Love Spider-Punk. Let's go. Spider-Punk Arms Race 2, in case you're curious. Written by Cody Ziegler, art by Justin Mason, colors by Maury Hollowell, and letter by Travis Lanham. After his humiliating defeat last issue, Otto was upset because his robot wasn't complete. It was just a prototype, and Hammer just sent it out there to, you know, spike interest and get orders from, you know, investors and stuff. And Otto's just sick of this shit, and he makes a move. And I really like this. I love the dynamic because Spider-Punk, there's a lot of pretty clear messages of anti-establishmentism in the Spider-Punk story. And this one's really cool because it's not the hero that takes out the force that is the clear establishment for me. It is the villain that does it. But is he also a part of the establishment? Is he just a seed of chaos? Are we seeing something shift here? I think it's a really cool way to look at it. So I really like it. I love the Spider Band. I love them all. Matteo Murdock is just awesome. So very good. Big thumbs up for me. Final Spidey book of the week is Amazing Spider-Man 46, written by Zeb Wells, art by Carmen Carnero, color by Marcio Meniz, and letter by Joe Caramagna. This is continuing that two-part story coming out of Gang Wars, where Mary Jane's aunt is in Ravenloft, and she's, even though she's been cured of, you know, the craziness that Orcus did to her, she's there helping the others. And it's so cool to see her, like, just a little bit of kindness helping all these people. And I really like the story. I said earlier that Rhino is my favorite Spider-Man villain. Sandman's actually my second favorite. And once again, I find him compelling because I don't think he's a villain. I think he's just someone caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. Someone who is obviously, like, not mentally in a great place, and someone who unfortunately is suffering these consequences. And this is a really compelling story about what is happening to him and how this is going to affect him and the unfortunateness of everything. I think it's really interesting. If you played the Spider-Man 2 game, all the things you collect for Sandman tell a really interesting story, and all of his stories are so tragic. It's just really sad, but I really, really like it. So very good. Can't wait to see where we're going to go with this new Sinister Six. Now let's talk some X books. X-Men 97, number one, written by Steve Fox, art by Salva Espin, color by Matt Meehan, letter by Joe Sabino. I have not been able to watch the show yet. I will. I just don't have time. I'm watching other things and catching my roommate up on everything. But this is a great comic companion. I really enjoy it. It's getting me back in the mood. It makes me want to watch it. So if you're watching X-Men 7, read the comic. I think you would really enjoy it. Yeah, it just takes me back to my childhood. I don't know what else to say. There's not a lot I can really say about it. It's really good. After that is Invincible Iron Man 16, written by Gary Duggan, penciled by Chris Lee, inked by Walden Wong, colored by Brian Valenza, and letter by Joe Caramagna. Tony has unveiled his master plan, which is to build the biggest suit of armor ever, the Sentinel Buster, and trick all the Sentinels to go out in the Australian outback so he can just fucking wail on them. And it's great. I love it. Obviously, it doesn't go as planned because, you know, it'd be way too easy if it did. And Fei Long shows up, which is part of the plan. But Fei Long turns out to be a bit more of a challenge than Tony expected. I love how intricately tied into the X-Men Tony is now. I'm so interested in what's going to happen between him and Emma after this. If that's something we're going to keep, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, just seeing Tony, like, my appreciation for Tony Stark has grown immensely because of his connections with the X-Men. So very good. Next up, Resurrection of Magneto, number three. Written by Al Ewing, art by Luciano Vecchio, colors by David Curiel and Jesus Burdov, and letter by Joe Sabino. Just a mind trip of a book. Storm recovering Magneto from the afterlife and the struggles they have to go to, the faces from their past they have to confront. It's just really interesting. And the cost they might have to pay to come back. Like, there's some really compelling stories going on here. And with everything happening with Orcus, with the fight coming to Orcus and the timing of him coming back, I just think it's really good. And I think that we're about to have a really awesome moment in the X-Men comics. So keep an eye out for it. But for this issue itself, this is really, really good. I love the ending. I thought it was really well told, and the future is just going to be amazing. I'm excited. X-Men Forever, number one, Well, we're going to do back-to-back What the Hell is Xavier Doing books. First of all, X-Men Forever number one is written by Kieran Gillen, art by Luca Maresca, color by Federico Blee, and letter by Clayton Cowles. We get a little bit of a backstory of some stuff going on here. A little bit with Selene and with Mother Righteous and the ultimate plan that Xavier and Sinister might have. I'm not going to talk too much about this issue because it ties directly into the next one I'm going to talk about, which is Rise of the Powers of X, number three. Written by Kieran Gillen, art by R.B. Silva, color by David Curiel, and letter by Clayton Cowles. So Xavier goes back to Moira's life and intends to kill her before she gets her powers. And he's Charles Xavier, so he is willing to compromise his morals, but only so far, and just gets all really complicated. And it ends with a pretty shocking result at the end that I'm not spoiling any of this issue for you. It's too good that you have to read it yourself, but Jesus, Charles, man. Like, he tries to do the right thing, but makes things so much worse all the time. That's just Charles Xavier to a T. After that is Cable number three. Won't talk too much about this. Written by Fabian Nicizia. Penciled by Scott Ian Lana Medina. Inked by Cam Smith and Victor Nava. Colored by Tava Tartaglia. Letter by Joe Sabino. This is, of course, the young Cable and the old Cable teaming up right in the middle of this big fight with Orcus. They're doing this little side mission. And it's really interesting because there's conflict between the old and the young. And it seems to have come to blows, I guess you could say. I'm hoping it's kind of a dodge, maybe, but we'll see. It could go either way, to be honest with you. But I like it. I think it's been really good. After that is Wolverine 46. This is part six of the Sabretooth War. Written by Benjamin Percy and Victor Laval. Penciled by Corey Smith. Inked by Oren Jr. Colored by Alex Sinclair. And lettered by Corey Petit. There are four more parts in this run. And we kind of get an idea of what all this has been building up to. What Victor, in the end, what Victor was trying to accomplish. It seems like a lot of hassle to go to get to this, but I did enjoy it. I thought it was very cool revisiting the early days of Wolverine and Sabretooth, and also kind of addressing the fact that as much as Sabretooth hates him, is Wolverine his only friend? Like, that's kind of sad, right? Like, I really like it. I thought it was really cool. I love Quentin in this, even though he doesn't have a body anymore. That's very cool. And the final issue for the week is X-Force number 50, the final issue of X-Force for this run, which has been an amazing run. I just want to get that out there before I start talking about it. A 50-issue run, absolutely 100%, totally one of the most integral parts of the Krakoan run. And the fact the series is ending is probably the thing that's making me actually accept the fact that Krakoa is ending. Written by Benjamin Percy, art by Robert Gill, colored by Guru EFX, and letter by Joe Caravaggio. So, Evil Beast has this plan, and X-Force has to stop him. It's their responsibility. But it's also the responsibility of this new form of Beast, or this new Beast that they've brought back to life from the Defenders era. And seeing him with Wonder Man and stuff, it's enjoyable. As a Beast hater, no, I used to love Beast, but like, he's just so questionable now, but I thought it was really well told, and I think it's a good fitting end to this version of Hank McCoy to be taken out by one of his own creations, because he's just been such a pain in the ass for everybody. So very good, and goodbye to the Krakoan era. Thank you so much for all the memories. I believe that is going to be it for this week, guys. So those are the issues that I had this week. Make sure to check us out on Twitter. You can find me at WHI. Podcast Keith. You can find producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz. You can find Josue at Josue Reads Josue. You can find the show itself at WHI Podcast on Twitter. On there, you'll find announcements whenever a new episode comes out. It'll also have a link of every issue that we're reviewing and timestamps for each publisher in order to help you find what you want to listen to. Also, check out our other show, Jukebox Vertigo, at Jukebox Vertigo. That is our musical playlist building show. We are going to have a new episode out soon. As you guys know, I had a sinus infection. As soon as I got rid of it, co-host Amanda got one, and she is very sick right now. So We're trying to wait for so she can talk and record and everything. So I apologize about the wait, but you're going to have to wait. We've been sick. Also, check out our network for Jukebox Vertigo at Certain POV. On Twitter, that's at Certain POV Media, and it's at certainpov.com. Maybe you'll find your next favorite podcast on there, like, I don't know, Men of Steel, maybe Fun and Games, you know, any one of these amazing podcasts you should definitely check out. And join the Discord. You can find us, or find a link to our Discord at both of those locations. And we just love to have you. We have a great time talking nerdy stuff, arguing about who's a Superman analog, sharing songs of the day, or just being basic and taking pictures of our food. That's what we do. So make sure to check us out once again at Certain POV Media on Twitter or at certainpov.com. Don't forget to bag, board, and box your new treasures, and we'll see you next week with a new batch of beautiful books. Stay safe and read more comics.
Hey.
Oh, hey, Jeff.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, you know, talking about Superman.
Oh, cool. I could talk about Superman.
I could talk some more about Superman.
We know.
I'll bet a few people would want to get in on this.
I'm down.
You know it.
That sounds like fun. I'll do it.
Cool. Let's do it. We can call the show Men of Steel.
And you can find it at certainpov.com.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yay.